Okay. Welcome, everybody, on behalf of me and my fellow speakers, Dennis Domen, Marcel de Vries, and I'm missing Ewald Hofman. I was asked to do the session in English. I think that the reason, because this recorded and the sessions are posted on Channel 9 afterwards. So yeah, if you cannot follow the session right away, then you can also look on Channel 9 and look into the details. Today is the pre-conference of ALM track, and it's a little bit free format, so we don't have a real tight agenda of timing. So the sessions are about 1 hour and 15 minutes, maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter, and in between we take little breaks of about 15 to 30 minutes, and I propose to have a break of 1 hour during the lunch, so you can walk around a bit and follow the visit our sponsors on the floor. Today is all about adopting Scrum and agile practices. So my session is about adopting Scrum. Dennis Domen will present a session about adopting agile practices in the development cycle. So how to develop agile software and what practices you can use there. After Dennis, Ewald will present a session about the build cycle and continuous integration and how to implement build server, symbol server, and all kinds of things to facilitate your build process into the development life cycle. And I think Marcel de Vries that's the Dutch word. He will finish the day with agile testing in the we'll show you all kinds of ways to use the new test tooling in Visual Studio 2010 in order to give you all the facilities to agile test your software. So first a little bit about me. My name is René van Osnabrugge. I work at Delta N. It's a company based in The Hague. It's about 50 employees. My base competencies in the company are the ALM competency, so we are Gold Partner, and I'm one of the consultants for TFS. Besides that, I'm lead developer, so I'm still developing software and using Visual Studio and Scrum on a daily basis. And I do this kind of thing, speaking on conferences, giving trainings, and all my sessions are always related around TFS and ALM sessions. In my personal life, I live in Zwijndrecht. That's about 20 kilometers below Rotterdam. Since 5 weeks, I have a little son. I'm married. And in my free time, I'm running, snowboarding, and I love to travel, but I think the traveling part is a little bit diminished by the birth of my little baby son. So we will do that in the future, hopefully. You can reach me by email, by Twitter, and on blogs. The above blog is my company blog, and not only me is blogging there, but also my colleagues. And the second one is my personal blog. Most of the times it's a double posting, because I post on both blogs at the same time. So, the agenda for today is, my session is all about Scrum. So I will start the session about telling you what is Scrum and why is it becoming so immensely popular in the development world. It's growing and growing, and I hope to tell you why that is. The second part of the presentation will be about adopting Scrum in your organization. I consult a lot of TFS, and I also implement Scrum in my own company, and the companies where I implement TFS, most of them also want to start using Scrum, and in practice you see a lot of people that see the advantages, but there are also a lot of people that see the disadvantages of Scrum, and I hope to show you how you can figure out a way to convince the people to adopt Scrum in your organization, although they are not really happy about it. After that, we take the leap to the Team Foundation server. As you all maybe know, Microsoft provides a Scrum template in Team Foundation server, and you can use that template to use the real Scrum methodology and terminology inside Team Foundation Server and really use the tooling of Visual Studio to implement Scrum in your organization. And I will show you with some demos how you can use the tools to really facilitate the Scrum process. The last bit is a little bit summary. I have some takeaways, and of course there will be time for discussion and question and answers. And if the time is up, or maybe you get a little bit tired and want to go outside, you can also reach me here in the audience, or maybe later on the day, or tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow. I'm walking around, and I'm here at the Delta N booth because we have a little booth here in the hall. So, what is Scrum and why is it so popular? So, as in every good presentation, I start with the definition of Scrum, but I'm not using the definition of Wikipedia or something, but I'm using just a simple statement that I think is really describing Scrum, although it's describing Scrum for me. Scrum is a process for creating complex products. So, I am dividing this sentence into two parts. The first part, Scrum is a process. I think that is a really important thing to say, because Scrum is not a toolbox. It doesn't provide you ways of developing software. It doesn't provide you any tools. It doesn't do really anything of developing software. It's really a way of how to follow a process in order to facilitate a team to develop software easier and to make the process of developing software more transparent. So that's really important to remember, that Scrum is only a process. Second part, creating complex products. I think that Scrum can be implemented for simple products, but even better for complex products. Scrum is all about iterative development, and you just deliver every time you deliver software. So every 2 or 4 weeks, you deliver a new piece of software that you can ship to the customer. If it's simple software that only takes 1 or 2 months to build, then Scrum can be, of course, implemented, but it's not that useful as that it is a product that maybe takes about 3 years to build or 2 years to build. Then Scrum really is a good process to follow, because you cannot design a product that takes 2 years to build upfront, and then Scrum will really will help you in that process. There are three pillars of Scrum that I can recognize, and the middle pillar is all about transparency. And I think that transparency is the key word that describes Scrum the most. Scrum is all about transparency. Everything you do in your development of software must be transparent for everyone that is a stakeholder in that process. So that can be translated in, of course, a daily Scrum meeting, where you tell your colleagues about what you have done yesterday and what you are going to do today and what is delaying you and why is it delaying you. And if the process of developing is not going as well or as smoothly as you expect, then it must be out in the open. And there are tools and graphs that you can create that can help you to show you that. So transparency also to the customer and to the product owner, because the customer or the product owner is so really involved into the Scrum process. For him, for the customer, everything is visible as well. So if the product is not going that well, the development process is slowing down, then it's also directly visible for that customer. So the customer can expect that he doesn't get his software on the date he hopes to get it. So how do you reach transparency? And that's by inspection. So inspection, for example, to the daily Scrum meetings, where you can say, okay, this is what I'm doing today, this is what I've done yesterday, and also by creating graphs and creating documents that are out in the open for everybody. If everybody follows the inspection process, then more people will adapt Scrum, and it's easier for everybody to just communicate about the process. So, and the more communication, the more adaption, and the easier it will get to do Scrum. if you look at agile adaption in the market, you will see that about 35% of the market is adapting some kind of agile methodology, in which Scrum is now about 11%. And this investigation is of 2009, so it's a little bit old. But it says something. It's about 35% that's doing agile development, so not the traditional waterfall or really traditional design up front methodologies, but really agile development. And there is another 30.6% of the companies that doesn't use a formal methodology, but probably if you look into it, that's what I see in the companies that tell me that they don't use a methodology. If you really ask them what they're doing, because everybody is using a methodology, although they don't know it maybe, it's always more related to a scrummish way or an iterative way of developing than the waterfall way. So it's really, really becoming popular and it's really growing. So why is that? Why is it so popular? And I think that this quote of a Forrester guy also really describes that in a really good way. With all the changing technology and all the changing technology that Microsoft provides and other companies provide, it is really hard to design products upfront for maybe 2 years in the future or 3 years in the future, because it's changing so incredibly fast. Companies don't have the money, and they don't. It's not allowed for them to design software that is so complex and so takes so long to build, so that they can only take value out of in another 2 or 3 years. So what companies really demand is software that delivers value right away. So they don't want to wait on the software. They just want software to be as quickly as possible built. And the older technologies, like the waterfall methodology, for example, where you make your design and make your technical design and then start building and then start testing and then start delivering, that takes too long. And by the time the software has finished, the market doesn't want the software anymore. So we need a process. So the more the changes will come in technology, the more adaption for processes like Scrum, maybe something else will occur in the future, is there. So if we look at the Agile Manifesto, and Scrum is of course also an agile methodology, this summarizes actually what I just told you. Scrum is not about describing what you want up front. Scrum is all about doing it iteratively. So choose individuals and interaction over process and tools. So communicate with each other instead of following always the right way in your organization or the hierarchical lines. Working software over comprehensive documentation. So don't write pieces, books full of documentation of how the software should work, but just make the software work and show it to the customer. Because good software explains itself in most cases. Customer collaboration over contract negotiation. So don't spec everything out in a contract and don't talk about every dot or comma and every feature that must be built, but just involve the customer and allow the customer to change if they want another feature because they think it's more important. Just do it instead of saying, okay, this is in the contract and we planned this up front, blah, blah, blah. And responding to change. So that's actually the same thing. Respond to change over following a plan. So don't write it up front. Write what you can build in a few weeks' time, build it, and then let the customer decide what they want next. So if we look at the Scrum process, and this is really an abstract picture of the Scrum process, what happens is that the customer, or in Scrum it's called the product owner, and the product owner is the spokesperson for the customer, or a group of customers, or a group of users. The product owner is responsible for a thing called a product backlog. And a product backlog contains product backlog items. That's sounds reasonable, I think. And a product backlog item is not a feature, and it's not a change request, it's not a bug, it's everything. Because in Scrum, we don't recognize really the difference between a feature or a change request or a bug. It's just something that has to be built by the team. The product owner is responsible for this product backlog, and when he has a business ID, he starts creating items for on that product backlog items, and he's writing in a form like user stories. So as a customer, I should be able to do this because I want to reach this goal, for example. So he starts to write stories, some in detail, some not so detailed, and that list is going to fill up. Next, what he is doing, he is prioritizing that items on that list. So he's saying, okay, this feature is really important. This delivers the most value for my company, so I'm putting it on top of the list. And this as the second one, and this is the third one. And higher on the list, the more detail the product backlog item should contain. Then the team is there is a Scrum team with that consists of developers, testers, architects, designers, whatever you need to build software. It would be nice that they're all multidisciplined, so that they can do more than one thing, because then you can really change the members or change the tasks to other members of the team, because otherwise if one guy is sick, then yeah, the whole process will stop. So it is nice to have the multidisciplines. And from the product backlog, a sprint backlog is created. So the team says, okay, we are going to do a sprint of maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and they are taking the top of the product backlog list, and the product owner is telling the team what he really wants. So, and the team is doing tasks. They are creating tasks for every product backlog item. So okay, we need to develop a screen, and we need to develop a database, and we have to write some test cases. So they are really specking out. Then they are doing a sprint, and in that sprint, that takes 2 to 4 weeks. It depends a little bit on what the team wants and what the product needs. They start building that list on the sprint backlog, and they are burning up hours. Every day they have a daily scrum, and they talk about what they have done yesterday, what they are going to do today, and what is prohibiting them from doing it. And there is a guy that's called a scrum master, and that is hopefully taking away all the problems. At the end of the sprint, and that's the most important part, there is a potentially shippable product. So the opposite of what you see a lot in companies is that developers start building software for many weeks, and then 2 weeks before the software has to be delivered, the testers step in and start testing and finding bugs, and maybe deliver software in time that's not really of good quality, or delaying the delivery. In any case, after the sprint, after that time, there is not really a shippable product. With Scrum, it's different. You deliver everything. So on the sprint, what's on the sprint backlog should be done. So it should be developed, it should be tested, and it should be performance test, regression test, whatever you need to do to say, okay, this product can be shipped and installed by the customer, and there won't be any bugs in there. That's hopefully, of course. But that's really important. So you rather say, okay, this item on the sprint backlog we cannot do, and we do everything else in the right way, developing, testing, then we do everything only developing but not testing it. Because the goal is always to have a shippable product, because it has to deliver value for the customer right away. So the question is, what if regression test takes more than 4 weeks? That is of course a really that is a really hard question. I see that at companies as well. What I see is that what I see at the customer that I'm working at, they have software that takes about 8 weeks to test. So that's far beyond a sprint. So what they do is they develop software and they test it, just like unit testing and all system testing, what can be done in the amount of time within the sprint. and then they deliver it to the regression team. And the regression team also does not really do Scrum because the regression takes a little bit too long before before the sprint can be done. But they do a Scrum bot, how that is called. So they take sprints of more than 4 or 5 weeks, and then they test that software and deliver it. So they just divide the team into a Scrum team that delivers the software and the Scrum team that regression tests the software, because it is also a really hard common problem, of course. Does that answer the question? Yeah, okay, thanks.
How do you deal with the bugs that appear from the regression test? Is the other team working in parallel, accepting bugs, delivering new versions to the regression team?
The question is how do you cope with bugs that that come from the regression test? What I see happening in the company there is that the bugs that occur, it depends a little bit on the kind of bug that appears. Of course, if it's a really critical bug that's a showstopper for the software, there is panic, and there are some people drawn to the computer, and they have to type and fix the bug. Actually, what happens there is a little bit outside of the Scrum team, so it's not really inside a Scrum of inside a sprint that the bug is finished, but it's just panic, so they have to fix it. But bugs that are bugs but not really critical bugs, they are just going on the product backlog with a higher priority, and in the next sprint the bugs are just put on the sprint backlog. Okay. So I talked a little bit about the team already, and I talked a little bit about the product owner. The third party is in the Scrum process is the team, and that's what I also told you. I told you not about the Scrum Master. So the team consists of developers and testers and architects, whatever guys you need to build and to test good software. The product owner is the voice of the customer, and he's responsible for project success, and he is the owner of the product backlog. So he has to make sure that there are enough items on the product backlog, that the items on the product backlog are detailed enough to understand for the developers to build it, and he has to show it to his stakeholders. So he has to really fight for his product. He needs to love it as his child. Then the Scrum Master manages the process, so he's really the communicator between the team and the product owner. So on the one hand, he facilitates the team and says, okay, there is maybe an impediment, people get sick, people don't like each other, the specifications are not clear, the hardware is not working, so all kinds of problems that occur in a product, the Scrum Master needs to deal with that and needs to fix that. On the other end, he helps the product owner to groom his product backlog. So you can understand that for some product owners, it's hard to describe what they exactly want. So the product owner facilitates in describing the requirements that the team can understand, and is the voice between the team and the product owner to make them communicate with each other. The question is the product owner the customer itself? What you usually see happening is that if you're doing project for a customer, then it would be really great if it's someone from the customer. Not all the users, but one key figure that is responsible for the product at the customer side. What we do, if we develop software, not all customers are able to really be part of the Scrum team. That's what you would really like, but in practice it's really hard to get the customer over every day during the daily Scrum, or every once in a few days come over and be always available for the team to explain the team what he wants. So what we do then is we take someone from our own company that is continuously communicating with the customer side, so that you really take that role as a product owner, so that you really know what you want. But the of course, the most ideal situation is that it is someone who owns the product and needs to evangelize that product within the organization. So, Scrum, we saw the abstract process with the product backlog and the sprint backlog. There are also some time boxes. There is always a release planning that that allows you to divide the product backlog in a way that you can say, okay, we are first building this, and in the next sprint we are doing this, and so you can build your release. Of course, that is always subject to change, because the product owner can change his priority always during during the process of developing. Then there is the sprint planning. And the sprint planning is a process with developers, or I should say the Scrum team and the Scrum Master, and the product owner is always also there. And the product owner reads his stories, tells the team what he wants, and the team is estimating the time that they need to build a certain story. After the sprint planning has been made, a sprint can be done, and they start just developing software. A sprint always usually takes about 2 to 4 weeks. The daily Scrum, that's of course the meeting that occurs every day, where the team communicates with each other and synchronizes what they are doing. After the sprint, when the software has been delivered, there is a sprint review. The software that has been built is demoed to the team, and it would be nice that if the product owner is really participating in the process of the sprint. So if everything goes well, the product owner knows exactly what has been built at the end of the sprint. So in the most ideal situation, the product owner should give the demo, because then the team knows that the product owner understands, and the product owner can show the team that he really understands and that he really is happy about the result that they are building. Then the last step in the process is the retrospective. The product owner is leaving the room, and the team is communicating with each other what went well during the sprint, what went not so well during the sprint, and what we are going to change in the next sprint. So that's continuously making your process better in your organization. Okay, then you've decided as an organization that you want to adopt Scrum. And what I see is that there are lovers and there are haters of Scrum. And I divide it a little bit black and white, but usually the developers and the testers and the Scrum Masters or the project managers, or how you want to call them, they really like Scrum. Because Scrum gets them what they don't have yet. Because now they have a fixed deadline, fixed time, fixed price, fixed functionality, and they should just make it work. But we all know that that is just not possible. If something takes 20 hours to build, it takes 20 hours to build. And if the customer wants it to be built in 8 hours, then it will probably take still 20 hours, only 12 hours of free time. So developers are really loving Scrum, because Scrum recognizes the fact that software takes time to be built, and if it takes longer, then it takes longer, and another feature that is on the list will just drop off. And if you want that feature, then more time is required. And Scrum is really facilitating that process. So the people who are on the work floor, I should say, they are really happy about that process. But on the other hand, we have the program managers and the product managers and the customers, and they are not really happy with Scrum in the first place. Why not? Because Scrum takes what they think they got. Because they thought, okay, we have a product and it takes about 3 months to build, and then I will get this functionality. So, great, that's in the contract. I'm happy. I know what I will get, and I know what it will cost me. And that it actually takes 4 months to build, the customers don't really care about that, because it's not their problem. And it shouldn't be their problem, because that's something that a company should sell in a correct way. But if you look at the arguments the haters use, they're basically always the same arguments. I don't know exactly what I get with Scrum in 3 months' time. And the reasons that you can give are mostly given by the wrong people. So most of the times the developers are selling Scrum to the program managers or the haters, and they are really selling Scrum like, yeah, but we get this and we get that and it's really nice for us, but the haters don't really care about that. So what you probably should do is first of all ask a question to them what they got right now, and the second of them show them what they got, what they will get with Scrum instead. So if you get this haters argument, I don't know exactly what I will get with Scrum in 3 months' time, then you can say you didn't have that before as well, because if something takes 4 months to build, it takes 4 months to build, and maybe you can negotiate about pricing or something, but it still will take you 4 months to build. So you have to communicate to your customer that your deadline is delaying, or we are building it in 3 months' time, but then we are lacking quality, or we are not building all the features. And on the other hand, Scrum will give you value after only 2 or 4 weeks. If you do a sprint of 2 or 3 weeks, the cost of the hater or the product owner will get a product that is working with the functionality that he prioritizes as the most important functionality. So instead of waiting 3 months and then knowing that he doesn't get his product because it's just not finished yet, he will get a working product in only 3 weeks. Another argument can be, there is no design document, so I cannot check if everything is built correctly. That's something that's in the contract negotiation. Okay, is this dot in place? Is this button in place? Is this functionality exactly as I described it? What they get with Scrum is, first of all, they are really involved, so they can, during a sprint, really tell the team what they are building. So if the developer puts a button on the left side of the screen, and the product owner decides on that moment that he likes the button on the right side of the screen, he can tell the developer, I like it better on the right side, and the developer can change it. Not a problem at all, because it's just not designed up front. It's an iterative process. And on the other hand, every sprint, he can change his requirements. So if you have a product of a project that takes about 6 months, and you are designing up front, chances are that in 2 months' time you will change your mind about some kind of features, especially when you have seen the product working. We all know that when a customer starts clicking through your product, he says, now I see it. I like it better if it's like that and like that. If you have the traditional process, then you have your contract, and then you have your negotiations about, okay, yeah, but in here is that, and we plan this, and we don't want to go over the time, blah, blah, blah. So Scrum is really embracing the fact that the customer is allowed to change. So that's a really good argument for the hater, I think, that there is no design document. The last one, it does not fit in the release schedule. That's the argument that I hear at the customer I'm working for. The program managers are really having a hard time, because they want to communicate to the customers, in 6 months' time you will get this product, and it contains all these features, and they want to make the marketing and the release, the marketing flyers and the website and whatever. So my argument is, sure, it fits. It always fits. Only you can set a release date, but you cannot say upfront what is exactly in the release. But you have a global idea, because you have that product backlog that is prioritized. And if the product owner does his job, he has prioritized it in the right way, and you can have a global idea of how many product backlog items we can finish in so many months. Only that there's maybe 10 more or 10 less, okay, we don't exactly know. But the good part of it is that every sprint, so every 2 or 3 weeks, we know exactly what is in the product. And that's totally different from previous, because then developers started developing, and after 6 months' time, the product owner gets his product and sees that some things are in there and some things are not in there, or not in the right way. So this is actually a little bit of summarize what I just told. It's a really different way of working, and I think that this is the way that that most of the people have done before. I don't know if everybody has read it up till now, but actually this is what it does. In the past, when I was asked by a customer that was working in the waterfall way, can you build this feature, and it takes me about 4 hours time, then I thought, okay, maybe I should estimate 8 hours, because if something goes wrong, then I need some time to fix that, and so I will estimate 8 hours, and then I will go to my project manager, and he says, yeah, if something goes wrong, I need to build in some slack, so maybe he doubles it until 16 hours. And the higher up you go, the more hours it will take. So eventually, a feature that will only take 4 hours to build will end up like 64 hours. So that's maybe a little bit too much, but I've seen it happening with some projects. And the customer is not going to be happy about that, because he wants a small change, and it will cost him a lot of money. So in traditional way, you will see that there is always a design and a technical design and then the development. So if you put figures next to that, 30K, 30K, 100K, if you put Scrum to that, you say, okay, we just start building. We have a global idea of what you want. Just spec out the first product backlog items, and we just start building, and we involve you, and you can change whatever you want. And then we just spend 100K, and when that budget is done, we just stop. And then you have working software, because every sprint we deliver software. And if you think after 3 or 4 sprints that the software is good enough, just pull out the plug. So it will save you money in the end, I think.
What's the experience with having more teams in different countries working on one product and using Scrum?
Mm-hmm. So the question is, what the experience is with multiple teams in multiple countries. That is a challenge, of course. The customer that I work at does have 17 Scrum teams in 4 different countries. And what they said is they have the sprint is always the same start and the same end date. So that's not really Scrum, because the team actually has to decide what the sprint length is, but yeah, there are some rules to follow, I think, when the organization is getting bigger. So they have a start and an end date that's always for every team. It's the same, and then the teams are not as multidisciplined as they should be actually with Scrum, because that customer does have a team in, for example, in China, that is really onto the back-end stuff of things. And there is a team in America that builds the front-end stuff. So, yeah, my experience is that the teams are really independent of each other. And they have a Scrum of Scrum teams that actually does the implementation. So for example, if you build a front-end, a back-end, and a database thing, so we have 3 teams building one team building the front-end, one team building the back-end, one team building the database, and it has all to integrate with each other. There is a 4th Scrum team that actually integrates all these things. So they first deliver software, just like with the regression test question. They first deliver software, they test it themselves, and then it goes to the Scrum team above that, and they integrate all the changes of the different teams and do their testing and then deliver it.
How does the team in China, for instance, know what to build?
The team in China should have a own product owner. So there is a big product backlog, or they have all their own product backlogs, and the product owner just fills up that backlog, and it's distributed among teams. And it depends a little bit if they are, if the teams are building on the same parts, or that they are building different parts. And if they're building different parts, it's maybe better to make a different product backlog for that. Does that answer the question? Okay.
Does that mean that those teams don't actually deliver vertical slices of features? Actually building back-end pieces, and the other team is building front-end pieces? And typically what I understand from Scrum is that you build vertical slices, and every time you finish a feature or user story, you actually finish something that has business value.
Yeah. Yeah.
The team is only building, for instance, a repository or some data access layer.
Yeah, true. If the question more or less is, you should with Scrum build vertical pieces so that you always deliver software from the back end to the front end. But what I just told you is, it's you're just building pieces, and only the back end doesn't really give you value. That's totally true, and it should be ideal to have the vertical pieces. So you should. If it's possible, you should give your team something that really builds up on the product. But if you have multiple Scrum teams, like 15 or 17 Scrum teams, then it's almost impossible to make those vertical slices. And then you should maybe see it as, okay, we are delivering not value to the customer, but we are delivering value to that higher Scrum team. So our value as a back-end team is to provide an interface so we can talk blah 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 for that Scrum team. So then your goals are a little bit different.
So what's the length of the Scrum?
Still about 3 to 4 weeks.
Isn't it a big challenge to actually integrate the software delivered by 15 to 70 teams every 3-4 weeks?
Yes. Yes, that is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's not exact science. So, what you that's the ideal situation. In the ideal world, the Scrum should take 3 to 4 weeks. But of course, what you will see happening is that sometimes it will take longer. Yeah. It's a learning curve. But I think
Scrum
that yeah, scrumming butt. Okay. Clear until so far? Okay, then we end up with this nice summary, I think, of what I just told you. For the haters, the desire to be certain is replaced by controlled risk. So it's never certain what you will get, but nowadays it's also not certain what you will get, and that's I think Scrum will give you controlled risk, because they will deliver. Scrum will deliver software in a time frame. Okay, so now finally taking the leap to Team Foundation Server. If you have Team Foundation Server installed, who has Team Foundation Server installed? Ah, that's good. Who has the 2010? Okay, and who has the Scrum template already installed? Okay. So and who's using the Agile template with work items and okay, and who's using only source control? Oh, okay. So you have all Team Foundation Server installed, but you're not using it. That's okay. Okay. Team Foundation Server works on based on a process template, and that's more or less a methodology in which you develop your software. And out of the box, when you install Team Foundation Server, you will get a Microsoft Solutions Framework Agile template and a Microsoft Solutions Framework CMMI template. That's for the more advanced, complex, big projects. The Agile template is a agile way of working, and you can perfectly do Scrum projects with that template, in my opinion. What they also did is, for the really Scrum lovers, Microsoft made a really lightweight Scrum template. So it's not really different from the Agile template, only it uses the real Scrum terminology, and it uses the terms that you know from the Scrum books of the organization. So you can choose between the two Microsoft templates to do Scrum. And there is a third one, that's from EMC Consulting, the Scrum for Team System. That's a really advanced Scrum template. They already had that in the 2008 Visual Studio. Really good template, but I'm not talking about this template in this session. It's certainly worth taking a look at, I think. But for the most people, I think that the Microsoft Scrum template is far more than enough to use in the organization. If we compare the two templates, then is what you will really see from the Scrum template that it is really lightweight. So there is not a lot of documents, not really a lot of reports. It's simple, and it's, I think the most important thing is it's using the Scrum terminology. So it's really talking about sprints and product backlog items and sprint backlog items and velocity and all those Scrum terminology that we maybe all know. The Agile template is also really suitable for doing Scrum, only it's using the Microsoft Solutions Framework terminology. So you talk about a user story, you talk about an iteration, and you will see not velocity but hours burnt, I think, or something that it's called. What is really nice of the Agile template that it contains really nice reports, rich reports, more than in the Scrum template, and that it contains some Agile Excel workbooks. So you can use Excel with help of VBA macros in Excel. You can use some nice cool features to make your sprint planning or your product planning. But what I did, and I will show you in a minute, I took the Agile Excel templates and I refurnished them so that they work on the Scrum template as well. So that's not really an argument anymore. So if we are starting running Scrum in the organization, before we start using the tools, there is first some points where we have to agree on as a Scrum team First of all, the definition of done. I earlier told you about Scrum that it is really important to deliver working software that is not only built but also tested and etc. In your definition of done, you write down everything that you think is important, where the software has to meet the criteria that the software has to meet to be done. So as a team, you write down, okay, the software has to be built, there must be 80% coverage with unit tests, there must be test cases written, and you can think of all kinds of definition of done arguments that you write in your that you write down. And everything that you deliver, so every product backlog item you say is done, you will test against those acceptance criteria if it meets the acceptance criteria. About the definition of done, it's really important to every time measure the definition of done against your product backlog items, because if you don't do that, you will end up with a piling up of undone work. So in your first sprint, you have maybe two or three things that you didn't do yet, but okay, you're still delivering it. But the second sprint, you're adding another three or two. And the second sprint, you're adding. So your pile of undone work is building up, and in the end of the sprint, or at the end of maybe 6 months, you have a big bunch of undone work, not tested, bugs, quality. So it's really important to do less in a sprint and everything that you've done is really done, than to do everything a bit. That's.
How do you manage that during the process?
You mean during the sprint? That's really the responsibility of the team. The team starts working on a product backlog item. I will show you in a minute. And the product backlog item is not that big that it will take maybe three sprints to build. The product backlog item that you are going to build has to fit in fit in the sprint, at least. So when developers or testers are just doing the tasks and putting the tasks to done, at a certain moment in the sprint, the product backlog item that is built is set to done as well, and that's the moment that you are going to show it to the product owner, and within the sprint you are giving a demo like, okay, look what I've built, is this what you need? Actually, that's just before you put it to done, of course. And before you put it to done, you take that list of definition of done items, and then together with the product owner or together with your fellow team members, you will just see if everything has been met. So that's an ongoing process during the sprint. And if something is not done, then the product backlog item won't be set to done. So it will be put back on the product backlog, and it will be put in the next sprint, so that in the next sprint the product can be finished. Where you also have to agree on is on story points. Maybe who knows what story points are? Okay, so that's maybe nice to tell. In Scrum, we don't use in the first place time estimation, but we use story points or effort or whatever it is called, and it's especially not days or hours. Why is that? When the product owner has a requirement or a user story of a requirement he wants to be built, he goes to a team member and he says, okay, I want this to be built. The team member is looking into the story, asking questions, and he will get a global idea of what has to be built, and he will have a more or less global idea or exact idea of how many time it will take. But probably if he will say it will take me 3 days to build, then the product owner writes down on his piece of paper 3 days, and after 3 days he says 3 days later and it's not done yet. So in Scrum we use effort or story points, and we use a vague way of describing how much work it is, and it's relative onto other work. So if something really complex will take 10 story points, then something simple will maybe take 4 story points. What we use in the company is ideal man days. So it's more or less time. But what we say is, okay, maybe in the beginning of a Scrum, the people are not really used to doing Scrum. People have to adjust to each other. So maybe effectively, maybe someone is maybe 50% or 60% effective on one day. So maybe a story point is only an ideal mandate is only 60% of time. So something that will take 20 hours to build, you can say, okay, that is about 3 or 4 story points. But actually it doesn't really matter what you choose as a unit for story points, as long as it is relative onto each other. So the first sprint, it is a little bit getting used to it. So we say, okay, this is 10 story points. Okay, and then we have finished it in maybe 6 days. So for the next sprint we know, okay, we can maybe do 20 or 30 story points within a sprint. So it's something that you must grow into, but you have to decide on that so that everybody is using the same measure. So you must have a global idea of what a story point is, and especially when you're using multiple teams, for the teams have to decide for themselves what they are using as a story point unit. But what you see in practice is that the release manager or the product manager, he wants to have a global idea. Okay, when I'm doing this sprint, I will get this and this and this and this features, and in my next sprint I will get this and that and that features. So if everybody is using a different scale of story points, then it's for the people that are making higher release plannings, it's a little bit hard. So then it's something you can better agree on in your organization. Sprint duration, that's also something you have to agree on. It's nice to have a sprint duration that's always the same, because then you can really measure how many story points you can burn down within a sprint. And if you're changing the length of a sprint continuously, then it's really hard. What you will see is that in the beginning, you can make somewhat longer sprints. So maybe the first two or three sprints, you can maybe start with 4 weeks, because you have to build the complete framework and your architecture, and it's taking a little bit longer to deliver value. But once the first layers of your application have been built, it's maybe better to just shorten the sprint to maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Task split up. Not really important, because also the team can decide, but a product backlog item can be specced down in different tasks. So, and you can do that in different ways. You can say, okay, I'm really specking onto the bit. I have to build a button, and I have to build a text box, and I have to build. So it's really detailed, but you can also do it at really high level. I have to develop this product backlog item, and I have to develop this test case item. It is maybe good to decide on what level of detail you are specking with your task. And then bug management, a little bit of the question that Dennis asked. How do you cope with bugs? Bugs that occur within a sprint, you usually fix in that sprint if it's possible, because that bug is prohibiting the definition of done to be met. So bugs that are found during the sprint are fixed. Bugs that are found after the sprint, after the software has been delivered, if they are really, really critical, then probably they will be put into the current sprint. But in most cases, you will put them on the product backlog item, and the product owner will prioritize the bug just as any other product backlog item. To say, okay, this is dealt with in the next or the sprint after that. Okay, I told you about the product backlog. So I want now to what I want to do now is walk through the process of a whole sprint, and then I like to show you that in Team Foundation Server how that looks like. So if we look at the product backlog. The product owner takes his existing product backlog. In this case, there are a few items on there. And during the sprint, so it's continuously ongoing process, he will look at the items and he will say, okay, maybe I should move this item a little bit up because this is important. Our customer really asks about this specific feature. Or he is advised by the Scrum Master that says, okay, we are now really building this or that, and it's really this feature that you have described here, that's actually really nice to just move that a little bit up, because it's better for us and it will take us less time than if we build that later on in the process. So the Scrum Master will advise the product owner, but always the product owner decides on what the priority is of the product backlog. He will make acceptance criteria for all the product backlog items, and what you usually will see happen is that the first items on the list are really detailed, and the lower you get on the list, the less detailed the product backlog items are described. What is important is to have acceptance criteria, so the product owner should learn that as well. He should really write down what he wants with his application, and he should really write down his acceptance criteria of a product backlog item. And that's also just like the definition of done. When something has been built, every acceptance criteria is measured if it is met. So he has to describe, I can search for a product, I can pay with a credit card. So not of how to do it, so he's not describing, I want to click on a button and then I have to select my credit card and then I'm transferring to a screen where I can see my details. Now in his acceptance criteria, he will describe, I have to pay with a credit card and I will receive a receipt when the payment has been successfully done. That is his goal that he wants to reach, and that is what you are measuring. You had a question?
These acceptance criteria into tasks and
The question is, will you put every acceptance criteria in a separate task? That's a little bit up to the team. That's about the, more or less the task split up. What you usually will see happening is that the testers will use the acceptance criteria to write their test cases. Because for every acceptance criteria, you write it more than one or more test cases. Because I can search for a product, click on the big bar to search for a product, or right click with your mouse to search for a product. So it's usually more the task. And if it's really different features, so if you can search for a product in maybe 5 different ways, then probably the developer will split that up in tasks, because it makes life easier to just make things done. But it's really up to the team to decide that. So if we look at, I'm now going into my demo mode. There are, of course, many different ways in how the product owner can do things. But what I usually see happening is that the product owner uses the SharePoint portal that is created automatically when you create a Scrum project in TFS. There is a SharePoint portal created which contain the most important information about the project. So you see a release burndown. You see here some details about tasks and product backlog items. And here on the downside, is it readable for everybody, or should I zoom in a little bit? Okay. So here we have a product backlog which contains all the product backlog items sorted by priority. So from here he can see what is on the list, and he can maybe create new product backlog items or open them up. What's also possible is to use the Web Access client, and Web Access client is also installed when you install Team Foundation Server, and this is a little bit more advanced than only the SharePoint web part, and here you can create product backlog items as well. And what's really nice, of course, about the SharePoint portal or the Web Access client is that the product owners don't need to install anything on their laptops or on their computers. It's just a browser that you need, and you can just work with it. So what the product owners will usually do is type in things as user story form. So as a presenter, I must be able to show you a demo on blah, 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 because and then the reason why I want to do that. In this product backlog item, you see here the description. So here the product owner must describe what he wants to reach with this owner. Why is it delivering value to him, and why is it so important for him to have this? He's giving, he fills in the business value. He fills in acceptance criteria, of course. What is met when you build it, and how can I check if everything has been built? So it's really important that the acceptance criteria are brought. And together with someone from the team, he fills in the effort. And an effort is measured in story points. So what it will usually do, walks up to someone on the team, tells him the story, brainstorm a little bit about it, maybe with multiple people, and then someone say, okay, I think that more or less it will take about so many user story points. This is a really nice way to do it. Only the grooming of the backlog, so trying to change the priority, this is, I think, not really the right tool for it. Of course you can do it, because you can click on the items and you can change the priority, but there is not really a nice interface for that. So I already told you about the Agile template that contains nice Excel sheets that you can use. You can use Excel, of course, as well for the Scrum template. And what I did here is I took the Agile Excel sheet, I rebuilt it a little bit for the Scrum template, and this one is reading all the product backlog items from my Team Foundation server as well. So here I see the titles of the product backlog items, and here I see the priorities. So you can understand that it is a little bit more handy to use Excel for the product owner to just bulk edit priorities like 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, etc. By clicking the publish button, everything is published back to Team Foundation server and it's visible for everybody in the team. What we use in the company that I consulted is a third-party tool that's called Urban Turtle. If you read the different blogs from the team system guys or the ALM guys of Microsoft, they are really cheering about Urban Turtle. It's a really nice product that's really targeting the Scrum audience. So if you install Urban Turtle, that's not a free product. You have to pay a license for it, but it's not really, really expensive. You get two extra tabs in your web access client. So here, for example, you have the planning board. And what's really nice of it is that the planning board facilitates actually what the normal tooling of Visual Studio does not yet contain, and that's the prioritizing of the items. So here you can filter on the types of work items. So I only, as a product owner, want to see the product backlog items. I don't want to see the detail level of tasks. And here I can just, let me go to the big product backlog. I can say, okay, I need to drag and drop. I need to resort my product backlog by just dragging and dropping. Great part is that it is now automatically synchronizing with TFS. So when I go to my Excel sheet and I hit refresh, then we will probably, if I use the right query, you will see the backlog priorities changing and the lists are sorted in the right way. So that is actually, for the product owner, a really nice way to sort and to prioritize and to groom the product backlog. As a last bit is that the product backlog of the product owner can approve items from here. Product backlog items, when they are created, they are in a state called new. And new means something like, okay, it's there. I am describing it, but it's not, for me as a product owner, not done yet. I have to figure out some details, or I have to talk with the team about the effort, or whatever reason, it's not done. When it is done, the product owner hits this button, approve, and the product backlog item is set to approve. And it's actually nothing else than opening the work item and putting the state from new to approve. So, but it's the Urban Turtle tool just facilitates that that better. So let's go back to the slides. I will skip this part. These are a little bit story smells. This is how you can help the product owner in writing better user stories, because what you will see is that in the beginning of a Scrum, and especially for product owners that are not used to describing their requirements in a way of a story, you will usually see that the stories are not really helpful. Maybe sometimes they are far too big, sometimes they are far too small, sometimes there are a lot of dependencies, and it will give you some trouble in prioritizing. At the end of the slides, I have a book reference of a book that's called Writing User Stories from Mike Cohn, and it's a really nice book, and it will really give you ideas of how to write good user stories that contain all the information you need as a team. So once the product backlog is created and groomed, we can do a sprint backlog. So what will usually happen, we have a meeting with the whole team, and the product owner is there as well. We will take the first item of his product backlog and starts reading the story to the team. the team is, of course, asking questions. What do you mean by that? And how do you want this? And how do you want that? And they are getting a better idea of what the product owner really wants. Depending on your velocity, for example, in the previous sprint, you managed to do 30 story points. So in this sprint, you say, okay, we try to do maybe 32 story points in this sprint, and they are putting the product backlog items on the sprint backlog. Then the team members are starting to tasking the different product backlog items. And they can do that, for example, by the planning poker. Maybe you have all seen the decks of cards with different numbers on it. What usually happens is you sit with each other in the team, you take one story, and you are going to tell to each other what tasks have to be done for implementing this particular story. So we have to develop this, and we have to change the database, and we have to do test cases, and we have to change the web servers here. So everybody with the different disciplines are participating in that discussion, and everybody is estimating how much time they think it will take to implement the tasks. So it can happen that the tasks are a little bit too big. So the time that we have estimated for the different tasks does not fit in our sprint, because we only have 4 people working 8 hours a day, so we cannot do more hours than that at the most. So what happens then? The bigger user story is put back on the product backlog. Of course, the spec'd out tasks will stay there, with approval of the product owner, a smaller user story is put on the sprint backlog, is tasked out, and then when that's done and it fits into your sprint, the team says, okay, we are going to commit to this, we are going to build this. So, yeah. The idea is to the sprint planning is together with the reading of the stories and specking out the task should take at the most 1 day. At the most. Because you also have to do some work. So, but if you choose your sprints rather small, then you have less user stories to estimate, so then the time. And I think that as you are getting used to working with this way of working, then it will go faster and faster, because you get a better idea of what has to be done. Okay, so for the tasks, I created a product backlog as well. I created an Excel sheet that is from the Agile template as well. And what is nice of this template is that we can use it for the team. So we start out with reading of the story and determining which product backlog items are moving to the second sprint to be picked up. So by reading the stories, the effort will be filled. So, and the sprint is appointed to it. We publish this. I think I have a conflict here. I think I know what happened. I didn't refresh. I move into my second Excel sheet. That's the iteration backlog. And what we see here is the different work items that I appointed to sprint 2. And from here, or from Visual Studio, or even from Urban Turtle, that also contains a nice interface for this, you can spec out the different tasks with your team. So let me change one task, so we can say task one, and that is a task. Remaining work is appointed to the task, maybe 8 hours, and of course the right sprint is assigned to the specific task. In this sheet that I created, there is the possibility to point to a sprint, put in some start date, for example, an end date. Okay. And what this sheet will do for you, it will take all the items that are on this specific tab, this iteration backlog tab, and it will calculate the sum of those tasks, and it will show you how much work you have planned. Now we have 8 hours of work planned, so that's not that much, but it's still in the red, and that's because I didn't assign team members to it. So once I'm starting assigning team members, and I say, okay, René is working 4 hours a day, then you will see that the graph is changing, and that you see, okay, you have more capacity left in your sprint. The more team members you add, the more graph stack bars will occur in the graph, and it will count all the days. So what I will do is I will post the sheets that I changed for the Scrum template on the web blog, and then you can get them and use them in your own process. Then we have, of course, the sprint itself. I can be sure about that, because during the sprint Scrum doesn't do really anything within the sprint. Of course, the daily stand-up meetings, putting items to progress, putting items to done, setting remaining work, validating your burn-down chart within your sprint. But really about the developing, the testing, and the building of the software, I'm not going to tell you about that. Dennis will tell you about developing, Ewald will tell you about the building of the software, and Marcel de Vries will tell you about the testing of the software, and that's the rest of the day. During the process, during the daily stand-up, a burn-down graph is created every time that just contains all the remaining work in the beginning. And as the sprint is moving forward, the remaining work is decreasing. And hopefully it will reach the zero point at the end of the sprint. If you use TFS, then of course the graph, you don't have to make that manually. If you use it with the remaining work and just make sure that everybody is finishing their tasks and putting in the remaining work, then the burndown graph is automatically created for you, and you have a fresh one every day when you do your daily stand-up meeting. Of course, at the end of the sprint, we want a potentially shippable product. So we have a build process, hopefully, that is running, that will deliver installable software for the client. It is installed, and the product owner, in an ideal case, will demo that product to the team. And he will demo that later, hopefully, to his stakeholders or his customers. The team is doing a retrospective after the sprint, so what went well, what didn't work well, and what should we change. And there is a sprint work item in TFS as well, which contains the date of the sprint, which contains the sprint goal, and which also contains the retrospective. So all that information about your sprints is stored there as well. Really important part is determining velocity. Determining velocity. Every sprint you will get better, probably. And every sprint you have a better idea of how many story points you can burn. So in this sprint, for example, now 18 shows up on the screen. 18 story points have been built during this sprint. So probably in next sprint we should try as a team to maybe burn 20 story points. Because a story point is not days, but a story point is relative effort. So you can probably grow until a certain time. Of course, TFS provides you that as well. it shows you a graph of all the sprints and the velocity that you got in every sprint. And every time you start a new sprint, you create a new sprint work item, you put in your start and your end date, you assign items to that particular sprint, and then you start closing work and closing items, and TFS does the rest and generates those nice graphs for you with a nice trend line of how many story points you have as an average. Of course, the cycle is then back to the beginning. The product owner starts again with grooming the backlog, moving items, and then moving along, building the products that you want. For time purposes, I'm skipping the demo because that's not more than putting tasks from new to in progress, assigning tasks to my name, and then I'm starting building it, and then I'm putting tasks to done. I'm not going to walk through this table as well, because this is just a mapping of what Scrum delivers in the process and what the process template of Visual Studio, the Scrum template of Microsoft, provides you. So, for example, the product backlog item that is an artifact within Scrum is now a product backlog work item in TFS, so you can create a work item for that. A sprint is also a work item in TFS that you can create, and it's also in the iteration path. I will end up with some things that I think are missing at the moment in the current Visual Studio Team Foundation Scrum templates. Of course, the drag and drop functionality. My opinion is that should be something that is inside of the box. Everybody should be able to easily drag drop items instead of changing the numbers. But Urban Turtle provides a really nice way of doing that, and I think that that it is really affordable to use this product. Multiple teams are that you can do Scrum, of course, with Team Foundation Server with multiple teams. Only there are some challenges here and there. Urban Turtle uses security groups and areas for different teams, so you can assign one product backlog and you can divide the work items to the different teams. At the customer I'm working at, we put a team above a sprint. So in the hierarchy, we make a team and then we make a sprint. So we can also make the burn downs. Say, okay, I want the velocity of this team because all the sprints of that team, are below that specific team. So there are multiple ways, but it's not out of the box that there is a multiple team thing in TFS. It is possible, but you should be a little bit creative. Actually, all the multiple teams features that you would want are not all there, so you have to be creative about that. Roll-ups, there are some reports out of the box that roll up specific tasks, like, okay, all my tasks are done, so my product backlog item is done as well. There are some tools that I've seen, web services, some customizations that do that, but it's not really out of the box, and should be really nice to have at least a report that shows you all the tasks are done of this product backlog item. Maybe this product backlog item is done as well. Take a look at it. So that would be great. Validation of moving in progress items. So I'm moving as a product owner. I decide maybe to drag a user story or a product backlog item to a lower priority, but the team already started working on that. There is not really a validation for that, and that is something that would be nice, because then at least you get a signal that you should stop working or warn the product owner that he shouldn't do that. And the integration of Excel, if you're using the Scrum template, you only have the basic Excel functionality, getting the lists and doing everything with Excel, but not the nice macros and VB stuff. That just fills up the graphs and remaining work. But I fixed that in the Excel worksheets that I rebuilt. So I will post that, and then you can maybe use it. So last slide, before I go, learn Scrum. That's something, it is you should at least read a good book about it, because there are some things that that is really some mindsets that you really need to know. Include everyone, so not only your developers or testers, because they are already the lovers, but you need also include the haters and make them part of the team and show them what they will get instead of what they will lose. Agree on definitions. Start using TFS because it's a really nice tool. It provides you real nice graphs and tools to do it. And don't forget to deliver value every sprint. If it's only one screen, it's still value. But don't fall back into writing only backends or only database scripts, because the customer wants to see value. And in this changing technology area, we need to deliver value really quick. So that was my last slide. I have here some links to Urban Turtle and the User Stories book. And then I'd like to thank you for your attention. And if you have questions, I am available all day. Thank you very much. Yeah, shall we get a break?